Woo!
Okay, so we're going to a concert, and I had the seats. I had the picture of where the view from the seats, and I'm just waiting patiently to show Greg, like, all excited, and he's just, like, texting away.
Like, well, fuck me, I guess. I don't know.
Like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, I just said this, but I'm saying it again.
I should start doing that and just see how it goes over there. Just go well.
You can't reverse psychology me, Michael.
Really? Oh, my God. If I did that back, if I was on my phone, like, texting, and Greg sat down next to me and was like, hey, look at this, and I just ignored him and started watching reels, we would get a divorce.
So, no. We can talk all day about reverse things, but there are some things that you do to me that if I did to you, it would not go over well.
Lay it on me.
No. Oh. I'm not. Nope. We're not having this conversation.
She says that, and then she's like, yeah, I can do that. And I'm like, all right, cool, what's one? She's like,
what's one?
I don't know.
Oh, Chelsea's face.
We are not having this conversation.
It looks like there's something.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was really excited to show Greg the seats, and he's texting work, and then he starts watching reels. And I just looked at him like,
well, fuck a doodle do.
Yep.
Let's go fuck myself.
I'll go die now, I guess, if you don't want to see.
Yeah. Look. Because, where did you get your sticker? Sorry.
Which one?
The which one?
The co-op.
Which one?
Which one? What do you mean, which one? The Harlow Lake?
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, Harlow Lake, and then I have Alice Blonde Ale from Four Keys. But Alice was their doggy.
I know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Adorable.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got these concert tickets for Primus, A Perfect Circle, and Pucifer.
Yeah.
And I actually bought, it's at Pine Knob, and I bought seats.
Bougie bitch.
Not just lawn, but okay, Primus, one of my favorite bands of all time.
For sure.
And they're touring for the lead singer of Tool, who's also A Perfect Circle and Pucifer.
Yeah.
It's his 60th birthday.
Oh,
so they're
fine.
Doing like a thing. And the three bands are only touring together for like four shows.
Okay.
One of them is Pine Knob.
Very nice.
So when I look at tickets now for the same area, they're like double what I
for
paid
sure.
for them.
Because you bought them a while ago.
Oh, I probably bought them in December. As soon as I saw that they were touring, I'm like, yes, doing this. So now I don't even want to tell people where the seats are because they've doubled in price because they're getting like resale.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So I don't want people looking and being like, oh, yeah, and seeing how much they are because...
I always take a picture.
Why? I say why with a smile on my face.
What? Why?
That's why I don't come over in quite pajamas. I mean, this is kind of pajamas.
I don't care if you
do. Yeah, so we're doing that. Your house sitting, right?
When is it?
It is the 3rd. So it's
May?
May 3rd.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday. The concert's on a Thursday, so it'd be Thursday night. But it's graduation weekend, too.
It is graduation weekend.
So I didn't know how busy you were going to be.
I don't know if I can.
What?
No, I will. I'll be able to. If anything, because Mike is going to be gone for a conference that week.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I can have Ashley stay here for just the night.
Cool.
With Cooper, and then I'll stay at your house.
Because we'll be back by probably 4 at the latest.
On Friday. Okay. Let me write that in there.
Yeah.
So I have it.
Yeah, do it now, because I haven't, we kind of talked about it.
We did, yeah.
But,
let me just put it in now, so it's there. Because I have bonsai tree trimming that Thursday night, too. One of my friends does, like, he's super into, like, bonsai trees.
Okay.
And he does, like, a group on campus, like, bonsai tree trimming. And I didn't go to the April one. And he was like, no, you have to go. He's the guy that I ran with a few weeks ago, Walker.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like, no, you have to come. Like, it's going to be so fun. It's at 6, so I can run home and let the doggies out and stuff.
I'll keep you posted because we might be back by then. I mean, we'll
on
be...
On Thursday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
on Thursday.
On Thursday. But Friday, you should... I'll... Yeah.
Thursday, we'll probably leave at, like, 11-ish. I can always see who can stop by, too, and let the dogs out.
Okay.
But even if I had, like, Pat or somebody, it wouldn't be till you got out of work anyway, so...
Okay. Sounds good.
I started to tell you why I was sore. So, Kimber and I... You know how you have a friend that's, like... Think of your college friends, and you have the one that could always influence you to do something?
I was that person.
But it was usually bad.
Yes.
Like, oh, you have an exam in the morning. Let's go. Let's drink this bottle of Jaeger. Why not? Right? And then they're like, okay, cool.
And then they're able to, like, rationalize it. Like, well, if we drink it right now, like, you'll be totally fine in a few hours to, like.
But you won't.
Yeah.
No, because you drink the bottle of Jaeger and then it's like, woo. And then you're going out partying or staying up all night doing ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Anyway, my friend Kimber, that I exercise with occasionally, is that same energy level, mm-hmm. but for good instead of evil. So yesterday... Yeah.
That's
so,
fun, though.
So we have our goal set for Dead Carp.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very limit... Finishing
yeah.
it.
Hell yeah.
So then she tells her husband... Oh, she doesn't listen to this. So she tells her husband... yeah, I want to finish it in this time. And he's like, well, you're already doing that now. Like, why? Like, that's not really like...
Did she up her...
A goal. It's a set.
Her goal then?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about times.
No,
but
that's okay.
First, it was just finish. And then she's like, I'd like to be around this time.
That's how I am.
Which we could do mm-hmm. walking the whole thing. Okay. So then... He says, well, you're doing that now, and you still have, like, weeks. She told him this a couple weeks ago. Still have weeks before it. And then when she talked to me about it, I said, oh, my goal is this. And it was, like, just a little bit under her goal.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see us do this. Well, then we actually got together and went running yesterday. And we do this thing where... It's like, okay, we'll run till 20 minutes or until this mileage
yes.
point. So then we'll get to whatever the first one is and say, oh, well, we're still doing okay. So let's run to like the second goal. And then we get to that second goal and it's like, oh, how are you feeling? Okay, feeling good. Okay, well, let's run to here.
That's how you hurt yourself. Clearly.
I'm not hurt.
Okay.
I'm just sore muscles.
You're tendy.
Yes. It's mostly stairs are a little like, ooh.
Yeah.
But we did that, and we actually beat our goal that we set for 2 weeks from now
Yay!
By, like, a large amount of time. So
That's
we're like,
awesome.
Okay, we need to reevaluate what
yes.
our goal is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good influence. And, I mean, we both... Like, we're both in the same fitness level.
Yeah.
So, and we have no problem being like, I have to walk.
That's
or
totally
this
fine.
Is sore
yeah.
or that sore.
Yep.
So it's not like we're pushing each other to the point of hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
But we definitely push each other very well. And then she's telling me that she signed up for a 10 mile the end of May.
Ooh.
So.
Okay. Good
now
for her.
Our goal for mid-May obviously has changed.
Yes.
Because now I'm like, all right, if we have a 5K to do, I think it's the 11th,
mm-hmm.
then why don't we try to get up to like 4 or 5 miles by then, which is doable. I mean, that's not.
Yeah. No, that's totally doable. 10. Sure.
Well, she said whatever she gets to like the week before.
Yeah.
She will try to run that in the 10 mile. And then just if she walks the rest, she walks the rest. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
But. So I bought this as motivation, my new water bottle.
I love that, like, buying new gym stuff is, like, motivation. It's like, let
it
me go
is.
Get a new water bottle, and then I need new leggings and, like, a new tank top and some sports bras.
It's
motivational.
Mm-hmm. It is. I bought a new water bottle.
I wonder what the psychological thing is behind that.
It's like rewarding yourself before you do anything. It's like, but first, I'll buy a new water bottle.
Treat yourself.
And then I actually bought a scale.
I go back and forth between scales.
I do too.
Yeah.
The reason I bought the scale is because I have the Fitbit app. And the scale I have is like a Bluetooth scale.
Yeah.
So it uploads all my information. So I started doing like the food again. And it's not necessarily like I'm going to get on the scale every day and be like, ooh, I gained 0.5 pounds from yesterday or whatever. But you can like track your like ups and downs.
So I'm going to do a shameless plug for Anytime Fitness in Marquette. all the trainers there are super awesome. Big shout out to Tim. But they do scans and they will like do all of that for you. So
I know I'm doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. That's what Joellen tells me about Fitbody too. Yeah. She's like, you have to come to Fitbody. You have to come to Fitbody.
Wouldn't that be fun? Because mom trains at any time.
If I went there too.
She does like the group training
stuff. Yeah.
And then Mike
She loves it.
She loves it. And then Mike and I train with Tim and then... It would be fun if you got in on it. Tim would be like, the whole family's here.
No. No.
Tim is cool. Tate's cool. I think mom has a crush on him, though, because he looks like a heavier set dad in the 70s.
I can perfectly picture that.
Yeah. Like, mustache, shaggy dark hair. Like, yeah.
I think I might know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think he's friends with, like, a friend group that I know.
Tim, like, you kind, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He travels in that group. Mm-hmm. So I think, okay, that would make sense.
But yeah.
Yeah,
They do, like, the body scans, like, every 5 or 6 weeks. And
I do the same thing, though, that I do, that I did with, like, running group.
Yeah.
Is that I have to get to a certain level before I will... do it in a group setting.
I don't do it in a group setting.
But you know, groups. Like having a trainer, anything. Yeah. Like I'm not just going to start at the training level.
At
day one. Like I want to get to a certain point.
I started at day one. I was just like, help me.
Help me.
No, I feel bad about myself.
And I can't do that. When I started going to running group, I don't know, 5 years ago now, probably a while ago. Mm-hmm. I told Greg, I said, I'm not going to running group until I can run 2 miles without stopping.
Oh, but that's what they're there for, is to help you.
Well, because I wanted to have like
a base. I got that.
And it's the same thing with going to the gym. Like I'd like to have a base of physical fitness and then improve upon it as opposed to just going into it.
I feel comfortable enough now to go by myself for the most part. Not using machines, but like free weights and stuff.
Okay.
If you want to go, we could get like a day pass or you could just like sneak in. And we could do stuff.
When I was going to Snap Fitness, I would go by myself and use the machines and I didn't care. But I was also going at 9 o'clock at night
because
I was going after work. And there would maybe be... like a couple dudes lifting.
Yeah.
But I never felt weird using anything because I'd run for like a half hour or bike. And then because I need to use the pull up machine, like the assisted pull up thing.
I use the assisted pull up machine.
But that's a machine that you're using.
That is true. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's no different than like rowing or doing any of the other stuff.
But yeah, all of the guys there are really cool. They're all super big nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lord of the Rings, shit like
my
that.
My kind of people.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Anyway.
Super duper quick. I did the coffee crawl this morning.
Yeah.
With my youth friends.
How did that go?
It was so much fun. I'm like, so much coffee. All of the coffee.
I think when you say youth friends, I think it's funny because I have friends that are younger than me. By like a lot, like they could be my kids.
These are like early 20s.
Yeah. And I don't really think anything of it. And then I think when I was like in my mid 20s, And, like, I had friends when I worked at different jobs that were a lot older than me. And I didn't really care.
I didn't care
And, like,
either.
We were friends with our neighbors that were older. And it just wasn't, it didn't seem weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I went with my friend Amelia and a couple of her friends. And Amelia just got offered, she was, like, kind of like an orientation intern. And then she got offered a full-time position. So we work in the same office. So I'm pretty pumped. She's a lovely lady.
Mm-hmm. I breathed in the cold wind yesterday. So my...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We should probably get moving.
Oh, yeah. I suppose we do have other things to do today.
I have a term paper to do and it's just going to be a fucking shit show.
I have to do work laundry still. It's been riding around in my car for... a week.
When I cleaned Anne's, I had the trash in my car for about a week because I just like threw it in the back of my car and didn't think anything of it.
That dumpster is never locked.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
It hasn't been locked in probably 6 months.
Sweet.
But you used to have to like take the key down, unlock the dumpster, then take the key back.
Because the dumpster key is like in the little dish, right?
Yeah. Okay. But you don't have to. The dumpster's always open now.
Okay. Anywho.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're revisiting Dr. Hannibal Lecter in Hannibal, which came out in 2001. It's 2 hours and 11 minutes long, and you can find this on Tubi with commercials. It's directed by Ridley Scott. It's written by Thomas Harris, who wrote the books, David Mamet, and Steve Zellian, sure. It stars Anthony Hopkins as Dr. Hannibal Lecter or Dr. Fell. He's been in all of the things. A lot of, like, I'm not even going through what people have been in because it's, you know them.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore as Clarice Starling. She was in Boogie Nights, which I completely forgot about.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah, Boogie Nights and Evolution. Evolution's one of... It's like my top 20 movies, I would say. It's pretty funny. Gary Oldman as Verger, Harry Potter, and The Fifth Element. And Ray Liotta, R.I.P. Ray Liotta, one of the greats. As Detective Krenler, he was in Goodfellas and all of the things.
Yeah.
So, there are a couple other people, like the guy that played Cordell, I know is Ben and Steph, Verger's assistant.
Cordell was in, shoot.
He has a very familiar face and you would know, like 100%.
Cordell was in, one of the Walking Dead spinoffs.
Yes. Yes.
Dead City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally know that, but I know a lot of people that watch it. So I like looked at the cast.
And he was very intimidating in that.
Okay.
This was nominated for a ton of stuff. Wow, my brain just disappeared. Nominated for a ton of stuff, won a handful of awards.
I mean, it's a pretty loaded cast, so.
Yeah. I think it won a Saturn Award.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, this is why I'm wrong. Because I wrote down that the music was done by Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
Who has done the music for everything.
Yes.
He won Saturn Awards for Interstellar, Inception, and The Dark Knight, 2009. Mm-hmm. And then he recently won an Oscar for Dune.
Nice. Yeah.
But he's done music for everything.
Okay.
I kind of just, with the odds and ends cast and, you know, I always like to research the houses and where everything was filmed.
What was Verger's house? Did you find that?
I did.
Okay.
It's the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It was built between 1889 and 1895.
Okay.
At the time, it cost $5 million.
Woof.
Which is $180 million in today's money.
Ugh.
Yeah. It was a residential home up until early 50s.
Okay.
Well, the last time anyone lived in it was mid-50s. It kind of dwindled down with the family, and then a couple people still live there till like 56.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a museum.
Okay.
So you can tour it if you want, which is pretty cool. It was Vanderbilt.
Okay.
The Vanderbilt family built that house.
Yeah. Rich people.
Yeah.
Rich people built that house.
Did you know that Anderson Cooper is Vanderbilt?
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
And so is, I can't think of his name now, Hitman. What is his name?
Ooh, Jason Statham? No, Jason Statham is like Australian or something. But every time I think of Hitman, I think of the car.
The guy from Justified. What yes. is that guy's name?
Justin.
No.
Terry.
We've Timothy talked... Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant.
Is that mm-hmm. how you say his last name? Oliphant.
I think so.
Okay.
Because he's in the Crazies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He is also a Vanderbilt.
That's odd.
Yeah.
He's very handsome. We Agreed. Talk about that, though,
Agreed. A lot. Did you ever watch the one with him and Drew Barrymore? No. Santa Clarita Diet?
I watched a couple episodes and I liked it, but it's one of those where...
It got too weird.
Okay.
Like, I watched it for a while and then I just kind of lost interest.
Okay. That's good to know. I was going to say something and I can't remember what it was. Never mind.
Never mind.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. This is the sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
Yes. So, but they don't come out... Like, there's a prequel to Silence of the Lambs, and then there's one...
Hannibal Rising.
Hannibal Rising, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, and then what's the Red Dragon?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also Manhunter
yes.
mixed in there, which I didn't read that book or watch the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. That came up. Greg and I were talking about it watching this. I said, mm-hmm. no, there's another one.
Okay.
Because we've read all the books.
Yes.
Which I'll get into, like, when we get yeah. into this.
Jodie Foster did not reprise her role as Clarice. There were various reasons, but she was... A lot of people were pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the story goes in a direction that she didn't want her character to go in.
Yeah.
And I'll get more into that when we get into the end, because it's, like, totally different.
I think Julianne Moore... did a really good job, though.
I thought she did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think she got Jodie Foster's, like, kind of, like, Southern mm-hmm. drawl pretty well and stuff. And her very, like, she was written well. I liked it.
I thought so, too. Yeah. So, it starts out with Barney, the nurse mm-hmm. that looked after Dr. Lecter.
For, like, 6 or 7 years. Like, they were friends?
Friends-ish.
Question mark, yeah.
They talked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's being interviewed by Cordell and Mason about Starling.
Yeah.
So Mason is very disfigured. Cordell.
Verger.
Yeah. I wrote Mason through the whole thing.
Okay.
It's because Mason Verger.
Yeah.
Cordell is like his doctor/assistant.
Yeah.
I think in the book it's actually two characters.
Okay.
That they kind of made into one. Doctor/assistant. Mason is very disfigured.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of doesn't have a face and is creepy looking.
Yeah.
Now, with Gary Oldman... I don't know. Did you read any of that backstory? Mm-mm,
I didn't.
Okay.
Because I was hoping you did.
So, played by Gary Oldman. He does a fantastic job.
He's Gary Oldman. Anything he does is amazing.
So, the story is that he wanted to be top billed with Anthony Hopkins and Julianne Moore. He wanted to be right
he
up there with
He has almost... I think he has more screen time.
Yeah, so he wanted to be up in the top. They said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, uncredited then.
Mm-hmm.
That was one version of the story. Now, Gary Oldman's version of the story is that he chose to play the part uncredited because then it would keep people guessing.
Ooh, okay.
So one was like he had an actor like tantrum, and the other one was like, oh, no. I chose to do that. So I don't know, you know?
I like to think that he chose to do that.
Yeah.
From what I know of.
Because the makeup is so intense that you cannot tell who it is.
Not at all. No.
You might be able to pick out his voice, maybe.
Yeah.
But he does a very good job.
Yeah.
anyway, so he's Barney's being interviewed kind of about Starling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you find out that Barney has certain articles from Dr. Lecter. Once the hospital shut down and all this stuff that was just in storage mm-hmm. kind of started disappearing. Well, Barney sells the mask to Mason for $250,000.
Yeah.
Like the iconic
yes.
face great mm-hmm. mask. So then, you know, like, okay, Barney's making some side cash
yeah.
off of this whole situation.
Sure. I mean, you can't blame him.
No.
Honestly.
No. Well, especially if it just kind of went into the wind.
Yeah.
You know, like the hospital shuts down. There's boxes and boxes.
Lecter's nowhere to be found.
Lecter's gone.
Yeah.
So yes and no, mm-hmm. because I mean, then when the FBI gets like reopens the case, essentially.
Yeah.
They need that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then the opening credits, they reminded me a little bit of like Dawn of the Dead or 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
It was all set to classical music. By the way, music through this whole thing is great.
Lovely.
It's kind of that like grainy security mm-hmm. camera footage. I liked it. Now, Starling arrives on scene where they're going to, this skips, you know, this is just like focusing in the beginning, her life now. mm-hmm. She arrives on the scene. She's running the show. They're going to take down a drug queen.
Drug queen.
Yeah. So they have this whole stakeout in this fish market. It's full of people, but they know that this woman is going to be traveling through. They know this is their opportunity
and
to catch
her. And there are two groups of people. There's like the FBI group of people and then like...
Yes.
The officers.
Like there's the like the local police, mm-hmm. the FBI. Everyone is supposed to be listening to Starling.
Yeah. She's top.
Which makes me happy between the first film and the second, because in the first one, she was like kind of quiet, timid, like yeah. didn't take charge like this.
But this is 10 years later.
But yeah, so. Years mm-hmm. later, she's like... in charge, running the show, telling people what to do, directing people. Well, it turns into a big old shit show because one of Starling's associates says, stand down.
Yeah.
There's too many people. The woman has a baby.
The woman has a baby.
In like a carrier mm-hmm. on her chest. And they call it off.
Yeah.
Well, one random dude was like, no, I got a shot. I can do it. And everyone's yelling at him to stand down. And... one of the woman's men sees the gun.
Yep.
And then it's a disaster.
Yep.
Big shootout. Well, it comes down to Starling and the woman like 10 feet apart shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Starling says, let me see your hands. Don't do this. Blah, blah, blah.
Like, you don't just come with me. Like, she, you don't yep. have to do this.
She's holding a baby. Well... the woman opens fire on her, shoots her a few times, thankfully, you know, yeah. bulletproof vest, but her head is still exposed.
Yeah.
And Starling shoots her.
Yeah. I wrote down in this scene, too, because for some reason, every time they show undercover people, it's sunglasses, baseball hat, neutral clothing. And I'm like...
because you don't want to stand out, but in that, then you do end up standing out.
You do end up standing out.
Yeah.
It's like when the Avengers go into hiding and it's like baseball cap. I'm like, Chris Evans is Steve Rogers. You're like 6'5 and built like a shit brick house and you're walking around with little sunglasses and like.
A what?
A shit brick house. A brick house.
A brick shit house.
A brick shit house. And I'm like, yeah, nobody is ever going to think that you're Steve Rogers.
Yeah, you're not going to draw any attention to yourself. Yeah. So since it was her raid, of course, she gets blamed for it. She,
which is so dumb because everybody, like the whole thing, I'm sure was recorded and the guy completely disregarded what she said.
Exactly.
I hate it.
But she did. There was video of her shooting a woman with a baby.
Yeah. Convenient.
Not. And she says she didn't have a choice. Like, what was she supposed to do?
Yeah.
She's obviously upset about it. she ends up getting contacted by Verger at mm-hmm. this point because the whole, he wants to talk to her, whatever. That's yeah. a whole another side story. But Krenler's such a piece of shit. He throws her under the bus.
I fucking hate this guy. And I love Ray Liotta. But I know. I hate this character.
I don't know if he deserves what happens to him necessarily.
To Lecter. Fuck around and find out.
True.
Fuck around and find out.
So Starlane at this point has a little bit of time off.
She's put on leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the Verger estate, which I already said is the Biltmore estate in mm-hmm. North Carolina. Now, she's very professional. Mason's like in his kind of hospital bed. You don't know the full extent of his damages, but he's not well in the condition that he's in.
Yeah.
Well, she asks, she's professional. Hey, can I record this? Blah, blah, blah. Tells him what it's for. And he immediately starts telling gross stories that he was...
He's a child predator.
Yeah, that he was a child predator. Starts talking about that, the sexual abuse. And she's like, I'm not here to talk about that.
Yeah, like, no.
But all of that was, I don't know what that's called.
Segued.
Segued
into... what he wanted to tell her.
Oh, what he wanted to tell yeah. her. Yeah. But like, he's like, he was never charged for any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, because he's rich.
Yeah.
Probably. But two, he was like, oh, he was pardoned for all that. I'm yeah. assuming for information about Lecter. Yeah. I don't know when.
Well, Lecter was his doctor, was a psychiatrist.
Yes. They
so Lecter knew all of his dirty little secrets.
Yes. Well, then she starts pushing it in that direction. Mm-hmm. Or I guess she doesn't want to talk about him being a predator, obviously.
No.
So they start talking about Mason and Dr. Lecter's relationship and how Mason had invited Lecter over for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So Lecter already knew he was a complete piece of shit predator. Yeah,
he's a terrible person.
And he's like, hey, Lecter, come over for drinks. I want to show you all my sex toys. I want to show you how fucked up I am. Like,
cool.
Okay, that's weird. So he invites him over. He starts talking about like all this and that. And he has like choking stuff and whatever. Lecter's like, hey, here's some drugs.
You should take these.
You should take these drugs. This will be a good time. We'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
He takes the drugs and he gets so fucked up that he cuts his face off.
This scene, and it's done really well.
Because you just see little glimpses of it.
To know what is going on.
Because the coloring is different and it's yeah. like a little grainy. It's like this mm-hmm. weird little flashback. And yeah, he's like...
And Lecter's just like, you know what? Here's a knife. Like, you should just start cutting pieces of your face off.
He's like, he says something like, oh, they're talking about his like predator smile. Like, show me how you smile to get little kids. And he's like fucked up and smiling and also choking himself. And the guy's like, okay, Mason. And then he hands him a knife and he's like, here, show me. And he just starts cutting his face off.
Yep. And Lecter Ugh. Feeds the pieces of the face that are falling on the floor to his dog. Good. Did he deserve it?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. That was fuck around and find out, Mason.
Yeah. Now, he said that in the mail... he got an x-ray that was supposedly from Dr. Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
Why Dr. Lecter would just mail him a random x-ray. And I think he said he was in Buenos Aires.
Yes.
Is where he got it from. Now, she has that x-ray and she can prove that it's actually Dr. Lecter if she finds his hospital records. Because at one point, Barney had broken his arm. like during a struggle.
Yep.
So she goes to look for evidence. Apparently, it's all of the records are missing.
Yeah. I do want to say, too, that Verger is the only survivor of Lecter, too.
I thought the nurse survived and was just super fucked up.
Oh.
The one that he rips her face off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good point. I thought they mentioned that when Clarice goes in, like, oh, yeah, like, he's the only survivor. But maybe not.
The nurse lived. When they're, like, walking through the halls?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
not.
Maybe not.
It's irrelevant, but...
Yeah. So she finds some evidence. She watched the footage of Dr. Lecter attacking the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So then she tracks down Barney, and he's just living in, like, a standard little house, like, nothing fancy for the amount of money that he's making. Shit. And they talk off record.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him she knows he's selling Dr. Lecter's stuff. Essentially, they get around to that.
Yeah.
And he gives her the tapes of their interviews.
Yes.
Which I feel like, and did you notice too, when she walks in and they're talking, I don't know if she shuts his computer or he does, but it's like all the stock market information. So he's not just selling it and like blowing the money. He's obviously investing it.
Yeah. And they talk about like why Lecter like went through so many doctors and nurses and why Barney was able to work with him for 6 or 7 years. And it's because Barney was a good man.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, I can't remember the exact term that they kind of talked about, but they're lawful good for the most part.
Yes. Well, he also mentions that Dr. Lecter told him that he prefers to eat the rude.
Yes.
So, and you see, when Starling is following Barney kind of back to his house to talk to him, he finds a dead bird in the road that's surrounded by other birds, and he takes it back and puts it on his patio to be like, okay, if you're going to mourn like, do here, it here.
That's safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's kind-hearted.
Yes.
And I honestly don't think... Do you think Lecter would care that Barney's selling his shit?
I don't think so. I mean, they worked together for so long.
Yeah.
And, like, Lecter knew Barney probably pretty well, I would assume. So, and, I mean, what else is this stuff going to go to? Like, you don't know what Barney is using that money for. Maybe he has kids. Maybe he has
it's a going to
mom,
a charity or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, he gives her the tapes of the interviews. I feel like he could have made multiple copies of those tapes and sold them.
Oh, for sure.
But then what's preventing somebody else from making copies of the tape and selling it? And then just everybody has it. Maybe he held on to them for safekeeping, assuming that something like this would happen.
Well, and he said, too, he wasn't the one that was recording it.
No, Dr. Chilton was.
Yeah.
As soon as Starling started coming to talk to Lecter and Starling was kind of getting her way with him.
Yeah.
Or not getting her way, but they were civil with each other. Then Chilton started recording all the conversations.
Yeah.
Now, flash to a totally different situation, Italy. Dr. Lecter is now calling himself Dr. Feld.
Dr. Fell.
Mm-hmm. He is, it's Palazzo Caproni? Caponi? Caponi. No, that's the guy's name.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That's the name of the library. And he's taking over as, like, the head curator?
I think so, yeah. He's because, a curator slash, like, instructor there.
Yeah. The previous head of the library managed to disappear without leaving a note. Just vanished. There was no note on why his predecessor left the job. All there was his personal items packed up in 4 suitcases.
It's wild.
That was it.
Hi, Princess.
Now, at this point, Dr. Lecter had written Starling a letter about her humiliation.
Yes.
About this,
Because Lecter's been like keeping an eye on her. Of course.
And it's in the newspaper, on the news, because she was basically made famous on his case. On the
And here's this famous FBI agent that's essentially fucking up royally.
Yes. So that he knows, he writes her a letter talking to her about it. Now, nothing stands out about the letter. The paper is just standard, nice paper, ink, nice ink. I want to cut that nail.
I know.
Anyway, the cat's rolling around on the table and she has like one weird thumbnail that I want to cut off. Anyway. They did notice that there was a particular smell to the letter, mm-hmm. and it was a certain kind of hand cream. So she took it to these perfume people. I don't know what they're called.
Perfumologists. But they have, it's like people that, like food critics that just have kind of like a
nose for it.
A taste for it or whatever.
But yeah.
There are probably some people that have, it's like the people that can see different colors.
I'm sure that there are, I mean, this is a thing that people like this.
Yeah.
So they take the letter and they have it in like clips and they kind of like waft it over their face and they're like picking out different scents and like kind of breaking down the composition.
Lavender, there's some other stuff in it. Yeah.
Well, they notice, one of the guys, one of the perfume guys, is in Better Call Saul. And then the other one is the guy from Office Space.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm like, these people look really familiar.
Yeah.
But they're just little bit parts.
Yeah.
Now, while this is going on, so this is all in Italy. Detective Pozzi.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pozzi. Or Patsy, but it's pronounced Patsy.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know.
Perfect.
Well, they call him Patsy through the whole thing.
Okay.
But, which makes sense.
It does.
Later on. But now he's sitting in his office, he's smoking so much.
He smokes a ton.
Smoking. Anyway, he sees another policeman making a copy from a certain perfume shop. Mm-hmm. Now, how they track him down is because there's whale, like a whale oil.
Yeah.
And I can't think of what it's called, but they use it in perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't use it in all perfumes because it's banned in a lot of places. Yeah. So they say, okay, Japan, you could probably find this in Paris. You could find this here. So
Paris, Rome, Italy.
Yeah. Like. It limits the list on where this could have come from.
Yeah.
So then, of course, they track it down to the shop. Now, Patsy, I keep saying Patsy. Why is it wrong with me? Patsy. Patsy sees another officer making copies from the security cameras of a local perfumery.
Yeah.
Perfumery? Whatever. So he like kind of looks, doesn't know what's up. Well, then he figures out kind of who they're looking for.
Yeah.
So he goes into the FBI database, which he has access to, I'm assuming, because he's a policeman.
I think so.
But then the FBI also has records of everyone that's looked.
Yes.
That comes out later.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out that there's a $3 million reward for the capture.
Or information leading to the capture.
Yes.
Should have just left it at that, man.
Should have, but he didn't.
What an idiot.
Of course, he finds out who it is, starts following him around. I think him and his wife lead kind of an expensive lifestyle.
Yes.
Because she is very beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
And she says something about like opera tickets, like make sure we're not in the back, blah, blah, blah. I want to be up front. I want to see what's happening. And I think it comes out at one point he was on like a high priority case and he got demoted off of it. So okay. I think he's maybe like, ooh, money.
Like, I need money.
Mm-hmm. To support my beautiful wife. Now, back in the States, I love Starling's life. She's just sitting down in this basement room. She's got big lit whiteboards everywhere with like crime scene photos and like little pieces of this and that to kind of like connect, connect the dots.
It's like, what's that meme with, is it from Always Sunny? Where there's just like
with Charlie. Yeah. And all the pictures with all the yarn. She lives
conspiracy.
A glorified version of that life. Mm-hmm. Krenler creeps down there.
He's a fucking creep.
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh, and on the letter that she received from Dr. Lecter, there is like a nude woman drawn at the bottom of it.
A nude woman drawn at the bottom and then, like, a man.
Yes. A bearded man. Mm-hmm. And it's very...
Da Vinci.
Yes.
Esque.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Well, she has it on the board, too, as, like, clues. Mm-hmm. And she has, like, a post-it over the boobs on the woman.
Yeah.
And Krenler comes down and he's like, and, like, lifts... He's just gross. Then he... Starling calls him out.
Like, yeah.
Well, she's listening to headphones and she unplugs them. So all of a sudden it's Dr. Lecter in her voice, like super loud. Startles them. Well, then.
He says some creepy thing about like.
Well, no, he says, well, I always thought he was queer because he's all foo-foo and likes food and art. And I'm looking at him like, that makes him awesome.
Yeah, that makes him actually super cool. He could make a killer dinner.
Which he does.
He could take me around to all of the fancy places. He could teach me all of these things. He's super intelligent.
Yes.
Fuck now, right off.
Then it kind of comes up how at one point Krenler had come on to her and he had told her and she had said, go home to your wife. And then after that, it was just him coming down on her any chance he got. Just being a dick.
Like, oh, I could get some corn fed tail anytime I wanted to.
Yes.
He does not use the term tail.
No. He's gross and rude.
I don't like him.
I don't either. Now, she was supposed to get a video security footage that she never got. So she had to call again and say, hey, I never got that video. Could you send it again? Sorry. The detective that she talked to, or officer, I don't know how it is there, but was very nice to her, chatty, said he'll send it right away. So the first tape disappeared.
Of course it did.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Patsy's trying to call the FBI from the payphone. Turns out he needs a fingerprint. Well, I think he thinks he's calling the FBI, but he's really calling the reward money number, which is Verger.
Yeah.
Now, he calls. It's a disconnected number. He hangs it up. The phone immediately rings again. And it's, hey, we need a fingerprint.
Yeah.
Once the fingerprint's verified, we can give you advance of like $100,000.
Yeah. Because there was a partial print on the letter sent to Starling.
Yes.
That they pulled from. Mm-hmm.
But Verger has no access to that.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't.
And this is Verger needs it to be verified he knows where to send his people because Mason doesn't want him to get arrested again. Mason wants to torture him.
Yes. And that's where you kind of figure out that Krenler and is this – when does that come out?
A little bit later.
Okay.
Now – he finds out he needs a fingerprint. So Patsy stops to pick up the cases and talk to Dr. Lecter. Now, Dr. Lecter is wearing like black pajamas, no shoes, having a smoke. And he knows that he knows.
He knows that he knows that he knows.
No, it doesn't go that far. Yeah. Lecter knows Patsy knows.
Who he is.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's like, oh, help me carry the bags. And then Dr. Lecter goes and puts on gloves.
Like,
and they have this like weird back and forth. And then that's when Lecter brings up the Patsy family and their kind of dark history of one of them.
Fucking dark.
Yeah. One of them was accused of murder and hung disemboweled and hanged, I should out a window of the library that they were standing in. And
foreshadowing.
Yes. And that he's like, wow, I'm surprised, like, even 500 years later that, like, nobody knows about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Patsy's like, oh, it's been a long time, blah, blah, blah. Like, that name doesn't mean what it used to. And he kind of, like, blows it off. I also wonder what was in the cases.
I do, too.
Because Lecter picks up two of the cases to carry out to who knows where they're going.
Yeah.
And he says, these are as heavy as bodies.
I wonder if it was
the guy's bodies. That seems too easy, though. And that would eventually get him caught if anyone ever opened the cases. I don't know.
But if they're locked and they were the old person that worked there that just disappeared and just left these cases.
Now, Patsy, he's got a plan. He buys a wide band silver bracelet. He sees a pickpocket on the street, sees him stealing, and says, hey, I'm going to arrest you unless you do this. Okay. Now, he says, basically, you don't have to pick his pocket. Go to it. When he stops you, he'll grab your wrist. I need this bracelet with fingerprints on it. The guy's like, okay, whatever. Like, I just don't want to go to jail. This is a big drawn-out scene, which ends horribly.
And why, oh, why does somebody think Patsy should have done a lot more research into Lecter, because he's not just some ignorant idiot.
He's on the top 10 most wanted list.
Like, he's not a moron. He's worked with him for a while.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, boggles my mind that he's like, oh, I can outsmart him.
Well, they haven't worked together. They, like, knew of each other.
Yeah.
Now, you see him. I just feel so bad at this pickpocket and Patsy, like, following Lecter as Lecter's like a wolf walking through the street.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Well, the pickpocket goes for his wallet. Lecter grabs his wrist, obviously, to stop him. And then the pickpocket thinks that he just got kneed in the balls, hit in the balls somehow. In the crotch. Okay. Yeah. So he's kind of like holding himself, and Patsy runs right over to get the bracelet from him. And he's like, yeah, he tried to kick me, blah, blah, blah. He tried to hit me, but he missed or something.
Yeah.
Well, then he moves his hand and he had like stabbed him right in an artery because the blood is.
The blood's a flowing.
Pouring out of him like a faucet, and he's dead within like 30 seconds. Yeah.
And Patsy, like, it sucks for the pickpocket because the pickpocket was, like, holding in the blood.
Yeah.
And Patsy kind of pushes his hand away and just lets him
and it's like, here,
out.
Let me help you.
He can't have evidence.
Yeah. Well, first he takes off that bracelet and puts it in a Ziploc, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And then he's like, here, I'll help you, and basically, like, lets him bleed out. Then, I don't know, he goes to wash his hand in a fountain and it's a big, like, boar mouth, like a pig mouth.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Patsy has the bracelet. He talks to someone, says, I have fingerprints, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, we'll take it from here. And he says he wants to stay involved. He's a policeman.
They tell him no. They tell him, no, we're going to leave this up to professionals now. Like, your work is done.
Yeah. And
should have just left it, man.
Should have. The opera's that night, which is beautiful.
It's beautiful. I want to go to the opera so bad.
Greg goes, I want to go somewhere where they have that.
Yes.
Where we can see that.
Yes.
Because it's in this, like, it's the old ruins, and they have...
Rich people bullshit.
But it's I want to be that. I want to be there.
I want to go
how
there.
How do I get the money to be there?
Yeah.
And everyone's in these beautiful clothes, and it's all, like, lit with lanterns. The opera is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted to see A Midsummer Night's Dream in, like, a setting like that.
I don't know why that just reminded me of In Dreams, when they're doing Snow White in
in the forest. Fucking rich white people.
Now, they go to the opera. Lecter's there.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Patsy sees him and kind of like...
Lecter does the creepy Lecter smile at him.
Yes. Like, hey, how's it going over there? Well, then he makes it a point at like an intermission to talk to Patsy's beautiful wife.
Oh, yeah.
She like falls in love with him.
So I was thinking about this. I'm going to go on a tangent. Okay. The cannibal stuff aside, I would marry Hannibal Lecter if he weren't
a murderer. Yeah. Yes.
He's wonderful. And I think that he could get like the stupid jokes, like the dad jokes and stuff, but I also think he could treat you like a lady.
You know why?
I love it.
He would get the dad jokes, and the reason I'm saying this is because one of his taglines is okie dokie.
Yeah.
Like I just know I love him. Okay, so he meets Patsy's wife and just woos her instantly. He has this sheet music, I'm assuming from the library.
Yeah.
Handwritten, beautiful. It tells this beautiful love story. And he's like, she's reading it. And she's, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. I love it. And he's like, keep it. And Patsy's looking at this right like, oh my God, he is like a murderer.
Yeah.
Please get away from my wife. But he has to try to like play it cool. And you know, he's just like cold sweat the whole time.
I know.
Like,
and I think about this with Anthony Hopkins anyway, because there's a movie called it's Alec Baldwin, and it was on like Saturday afternoon TV, and he plays like a rich white dude that's into like survival stuff.
What?
It's wild. It's like the North or the Coast or something. But it's such a good movie, and Anthony Hopkins' wife is sleeping with Alec Baldwin, and they're having like a thing going on, and Anthony Hopkins knows about it. But I'm like, I could just see Anthony Hopkins, like those two characters, like Hannibal Lecter and the character that he plays in that.
The Edge.
Like, yes. Kind of merging together to be like this perfect man. Like you could live in a cabin in the woods and do survival shit with axes and stuff, or you could go to an opera and enjoy a fine dinner. Like,
I think you're just designing a perfect person that doesn't exist.
Dream men.
Yes.
But yeah. Edge. Such a good movie.
I might have to watch that again. It's on Hulu.
Yep.
Because I know, oh, he's really cute in it, too.
I know. But yeah, I kind of like swoon over Lecter, even though he's a serial killer. But
just wait. When we get to the end, I will inform you of some things.
Ooh, okay, cool. Okay. Love it.
Now, yeah, she's like, oh, like flattered. Like, this is great. And Patsy's just like dying. Literally.
Yeah. Give it 5 minutes.
Yeah, so Starling sees Lecter on the video, okay? Mm-hmm. She looks up through the FBI list who has been opening, who's been, like, looking, right, for him. Finds out that it's Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls him. And
she thinks it's Lecter.
She thinks it might be Lecter.
Yeah.
Now... So she calls, finds out that it's Patsy, an officer or a detective.
Yeah.
And he gets busted.
Yeah. She knows.
Because she said, oh, do you know of this? Do you know of Dr. Hannibal Lecter? No, I don't know who that is, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, it's funny because someone from your office has been looking him up through our FBI database. And he's, oh, everyone shares each other's computers. I have no idea what's going on. And she goes, it's your home computer.
Oh, Clarice.
So then she's like, don't go after him. Do not. And of course, he just hangs up on her.
No, why listen to the woman that's been studying him for like 15 years?
Yes.
She knows nothing.
So she warns him. So he is kind of like flustered and leaves the office, forgets his gun. I don't know if you noticed that. He, like, picks up his jacket and his gun is laying on the table. Mm-hmm. Well, then he goes to the library like a big dum-dum. Starling calls while he's doing a presentation. And it's various degrees of people being hanged and talking mm-hmm. about how they are represented in history and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's all like medieval shit. Well, he walks in and he's kind of like in the back of the room while he's doing this lecture, and he gets a phone call. So his phone goes off. So then it draws attention that he's standing there.
Fucking rude.
Yeah. Meanwhile, out in the street, there are two of Mason Verger's guys mm-hmm. with a van. Because as soon as Mason found out where Lecter was and that yeah. he was being apprehended, he's like, hey, I need those wild boar 500-pound pigs shipped to my estate right now.
Trained. They need yes. to be trained.
They're trained. No, they are trained.
Oh.
They were training them wherever those guys were hanging out. I don't know what yeah. country that was supposed to be, but he needs them. He said he'll send the vet paperwork, whatever, to get these.
Man-eating boars.
Man-eating boars. When they hear the sound of human screams, they go insane and just start ripping people apart. It's great.
Ah!
Yeah. So that's that's Mason's plan.
To have that kind of money, I need wild yes. boars.
Bring me the wild boars. Bring me the man-eating boars to my estate.
Bring
it's like
me the boars.
Oh, we have a shark with a laser on it. Like, what the fuck?
With the laser beams. No, no.
So yeah. He watches the presentation for a little bit. He then talks to Dr. Lecter afterwards. He gets another phone call from Starling, pretends it's his wife. Or no, he calls, he invites Lecter out for a drink.
Yeah.
And, or they plan on that. Mm-hmm. So he calls the men down on the street waiting and pretends they're his wife, says, hey, I'm going to be home a little late. Like warning them, like he's not walking yeah. out of the building with everyone. Now, Dr. Lecter, oh, I forgot. I left this one slide of this depiction out of the show, and it was Patsy's ancestor hanging.
Yep.
Off of the very same balcony where this...
Weird.
Weird. He's not shitting his pants. I would have totally been.
I would have left immediately and been like, sorry.
Yes.
But it's too late.
Now, of course, Lecter overpowers him, tapes him to like a furniture mover, has an extension cord around his neck, and is just like chatting with him
yeah.
as he rolls him to this balcony.
Yep.
Now, he asks him some questions. He said, was it Mason Verger who you sold me to? Blink once for yes, twice yeah. for no kind of thing. Does anyone in your department know? Does your wife know? And he's like, answer or I will eat your wife.
Yeah.
So he's got to know he's dying, right?
Yeah, and he, Lecter... Like, Patsy blinks whatever to notify Lecter that, like, his wife wasn't in on it. She knew nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Lecter is just like, yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
Now, the Thank phone God. Rings again. And you see Lecter, like, look at the number, like, oh, and answers the phone like nothing is wrong. Just like, hello, Clarice.
Sup, girl. How you been?
And she, of course... flips out, but she warned Patsy. So Lecter cuts his stomach open and yeah. tosses him over the railing. Yes.
And he asks him, like, bowels in or bowels out? And then Lecter's just like, well, I'll just choose for you.
Yes. Slits his stomach open, kicks him over the railing. Meanwhile, there are a ton of tourists still out on the street to see this. So everyone's recording this.
Everyone's recording.
Not so much as nowadays, because this was 2001.
Yeah.
So no cell phone recording technology at that point, I don't think. 2001.
No.
Pictures. You could take pictures.
Yeah.
But touristy, I'm sure people had their like
handheld
camcorders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then Lecter kills Carlo because the two guys come in thinking they're still going to like apprehend him.
Yeah. Okay.
No. One of them, Carlo gets killed. And I believe they're brothers.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well.
I mean, life of crime. Yeah. Now.
This movie is the epitome of fuck around and find out.
Yes.
Quit it.
Now. Krenler and Mason kind of. This plan that they will draw Lecter out by putting Starling in danger.
Yeah. The fox will go to the rabbit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is their big plan. So.
Because they assume that they had like a romantic relationship.
Yes.
Or something. Like something was going on like that.
Yes. Now, Clarice running notices that someone's following her, kind of.
There's always running.
There's people's eyes on her from afar, like through binoculars or something. Then you see somebody kind of behind her running down this trail.
Yeah.
Krenler gets paid $500,000 basically to frame Starling. Ugh. Yep. To get Starling off of the case again.
Yeah.
Dr. Lecter's case, kind of shame her to maybe bring Lecter in to defend her.
To shame her, to kind of give the impression to the head of the bureau that there might have been a romantic relationship.
Yes. So she gets suspended from the case because they find a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
That is supposedly written from Lecter to Starling in its romantic tone.
Yep.
And, of course, Krenler's like, that has to be him. Like, look at how gay it's written. Because he's that kind of guy that does that shit, you know?
He's an alpha male,
Aaron. Yes, he's very much an alpha male. You do not write nice things to a woman.
No.
Okay.
You don't like art or music.
No.
How dare
or
you?
Or good food. How dare you? You don't eat.
I'm a beer and burger, which is fine.
Fine.
Anyway,
it's fine. But yeah.
Never mind.
Now, it works. She yells her theory,
which is an accurate theory.
Which is accurate that Mason and Krenler are working against her.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this to her intentionally to get her off the case.
Yeah.
Which is all true. But, of course, her boss is like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, turn in your shit. Get out. Now.
You're a woman.
Promptly. The next scene. Lecter sees Krenler go out for a run and just walks into his fucking house and starts going through his mail.
I fucking love it so
What did you think was going to happen? Like, Krenler had no idea that this wolf of a human being is going to come in. And I'm not saying alpha male. I'm saying, like, a instinctual animal human being is going to...
To fuck you up.
Fuck you up. And he's got, see, I think the shepherd that he has is what Sandy's going to look like when he's old.
Because
Sandy's like shaggy kind of, but skinny
like
still.
Like Shane's puppies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks in and the dog like barks at him. And then the dog like walks over in the corner and lays down.
And it's just like, ooh.
Like, okay, just take what you want. Just ignore
you're
me.
You're fine.
You're fine. We're cool.
Do you want me to show you where the mail is? Because I'll do that.
Oh, and this is where he keeps his guns, and this is where he keeps his money.
Let's go. That's what Cooper would do.
Hey, let me show you around. This is where all the good stuff is. Now, then after he like picks up some interesting mail from Krenler's, he goes, I called it shopping.
I love this scene.
He goes into a very fine dining, I can't even say store. It's like a beautiful shop that has high-end kitchen.
It reminds me of like Pottery Barn times 1 million.
It reminds me of like...
Pottery Barn to me is expensive.
Like he is walking around. He's got a woman with him.
I'm poor.
And he's like looking at all this fancy, fancy cookware. And he's just kind of pointing at things. And then there's a guy at the register who's like smiling and nodding, like calculating how much he's going to owe. Have this wrapped up and sent to my summer house. Like that's how, that's the vibe. So... expensive fancy cookware. Well, then he goes to the hospital and does shopping there. He's like, sure, I'll take this wheelchair and this bone saw.
And then and- he like locks he locks the attendant in the freezer, but luckily like the light's going off, so
yeah,
someone will eventually be there to get this.
I need
out of the
these
freezer.
Drugs and I need this, and I remember the first time I saw this just being like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
Something terrible's gonna happen.
Something terrible. Now, okay, where medical supplies and cookware, yikes, is what I wrote. Now.
I wrote Kremler's in for a bad time.
Bad time. Now, Lecter shows up at Starling's while she's asleep. And he just like lightly touches her hair.
Yeah.
But then he takes a magazine that she was looking at and there's this like... very beautiful like Gucci ad. Mm-hmm. And he cuts out a picture of her face and puts it over one of the model's faces, which mm-hmm. is, and it's like a newspaper clipping of her face.
Yeah.
Lights two candles and she wakes up. She wakes up to her phone ringing.
Yeah.
And sees that. Mm-hmm. Now he calls and he basically talks her through a drive.
Yeah.
So she's, I mean, who is she? Doesn't have time to call anyone.
No.
So he gives her directions. Now he's giving her directions. She's obviously being followed by a van.
Yeah.
Goes to like a big train station that has a bunch of different shops. It has a carousel. It has people playing live music.
Yeah.
So she's on her phone listening to him talking, but also listening to the different sounds to kind of find him.
Yeah. She's clever.
Yes. Now she's tracking him down. She almost gets to where he is. Mm-hmm. She thinks he's in a photo booth. And meanwhile, when he's on the carousel, she's looking around, can't find him. And he rides by on one of the horses and like does the same thing, like lightly touches her hair.
Ah, it's wild.
Wild.
Yeah.
But she thinks she has him in a photo booth.
Yeah.
When she pulls back the curtain, there are a pair of very nice shoes.
Gucci heels.
Gucci heels waiting for her.
And a dress.
Classy.
I think there's a dress, too.
No.
There's no dress.
It was just the shoes. Okay. The dress comes up later, I believe. Now, she finds the shoes. Now, she sees Lecter getting tased and taken away. Getting mm-hmm. abducted by these guys.
Yeah. The guys now, that were following her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they were following her, mm-hmm. assuming that
Lecter would be there.
She would lead them yeah. to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now the police show up. She says everything that happened. The police are kind of like, whatever. Well, she's tracking him down.
Yeah.
They say, oh, we'll go to the Verger estate. We'll question him, blah, blah, blah. You know that.
They're not going to.
No, he's like, at some point they say he doesn't have enough money to buy a congressman, but he has enough money to rent one for a while.
Yeah.
So the police come. They do like a little simple walkthrough. They don't see anything suspicious. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this estate is like thousands of acres.
Yeah.
They could hide him somewhere.
Yes.
Now, Mason obviously gets him, and he's on a dolly. Flashback to the first one with the mask cuffed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mason essentially gives him his whole like mastermind criminal. First, I'm
why
gonna
do they do that?
First, I'm gonna feed your feet to the pigs, and then we're gonna like drug you up for 7 hours, and then feed the rest of you to the pigs so you suffer. Yeah.
It's every movie. Let me just tell you my entire plan. And there's some
line in it, too, where Mason is like, oh, I bet you're not happy to see me. And Lecter says something like, oh, I'm very happy to see you the way you are. Oh, did you write it down?
So, yeah, Mason says, like, oh, I bet you wish that you could have fed me or, like, fed
the rest of me to the dog.
And Lecter says, no, Mason, I much prefer you the way that you are. Never loses suffering. Charm.
Not dead. Suffering. For the rest of his life. Now, of course, Starling is on her way. Yeah. She's on her way to save the day. Or, you know, arrest Lecter. Or what? You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Now, Starling shows up. At this point in time, Lecter is on a forklift. He's basically got his arms out like he's on a cross. Mm-hmm. And he's in like PJs?
Something
like that?
Yeah.
I don't think he's got shoes on.
I don't think so either.
He's hooked up. They hook him up to an IV because they want to keep him alive, like, during this suffering. Yeah. The guy that is in charge of this, Lecter, said, your little brother must smell almost as bad as you do right now. And the pig, so he's on this forklift and he's gets driven into a pit.
That's the guy's brother.
Yes.
Oh.
There's Carlo and the other guy that were in charge of these pigs.
And the other guy's dead and rotting.
Yes.
Got it.
Connection. Now, the plan is they'll lower him down enough that the pigs just eat some of him and they're going to keep him alive.
Oh, woof.
Mm-hmm. It's a pit that they are going to release the pigs into.
Yeah.
There's a little walkway around the top that is like
a
viewing area, wheelchair accessible.
He's a terrible person. That's why we're laughing.
He's terrible.
He's a terrible person.
So that, because like I said, Verger is in very bad shape. Yeah. I don't think he can walk at all.
He can't. He's quadriplegic.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure like the extent because when you see his face, it's like, whew. I wonder if that's from hanging.
I think that might have
oxygen
been from hanging so long.
Something? I don't know. Now, Starling, in the pit,
mm-hmm.
she manages to take out two of the henchmen.
Yes.
Shoots them. They drop down dead. She starts freeing Lecter. He says, this would go a lot quicker if you gave me the knife. And she's like, haha, fuck you. I'm just trying to like.
She's very Captain America.
She is.
She is very lawful, good. He's just like, you're going to do this after the FBI fucked you over? Like,
yep. She's still she's doing like, it.
Nope.
And he said, oh, there was a third man in the loft. So she looks up. There is a third man. She shoots at him, but not before he can shoot her in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Lecter then frees himself. The pigs also hear the screaming and commotion, and the pigs are going wild trying mm-hmm. to get in. I think they're Russian boar. I think is what they use for this. Because they're not like cute little bacon piggies.
They're
like
big boars.
Big, scary pigs. Cute little bacon piggies. You know what I mean.
Yummy.
They're not like Charlotte's Web pigs.
Oh, yeah. They're boars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are going crazy trying to like break down the walls of the pen.
Yeah.
To get to the action. Start eating people. Now, she's shot and kind of collapses. This is like one of the coolest scenes ever.
This is when I realized that I couldn't remember any of this movie because I could not remember what happened really after this except the scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Lecter's free, mm-hmm. jumps down, immediately scoops Starling up into his arms. The pigs burst into the room and they all just avoid him. He just stands there. They like part and run around him. Mm-hmm. And they immediately go after the henchmen and start ripping them apart.
Yeah.
Now,
one of them is dead and the other one was handcuffed to him or something and still alive.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Either way, they're
this both next being part's good.
Yes. So, meanwhile, Mason Verger is being pushed by Cordell up to watch the show.
Yeah.
Can't wait. And this kind of shows Cordell's point of view, because beforehand, when Mason was, like, getting ready for all these festivities, he's like, I hope you're staying for the show tonight. And Cordell's like, I'd prefer not to.
Yeah.
I don't want this. And Verger, like, kind of forces him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, says, you will do it.
Yeah.
Like, you're an accomplice to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you kind of see that maybe Cordell is kind of just looped into this whole money situation.
And he doesn't want to be.
And taking care of a, and he knows he's taking care of, like, a bad man.
Yeah.
But money.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're wheeling up, as Cordell's wheeling him up, they hear gunshots, and Mason's like, what is this? What's going on? They get right to the edge. They look down into the pit, and they see Lecter holding Starling in his arms, the other people being eaten up by pigs. Pigs are avoiding him completely. So Verger must have just been so mad.
He would have been so pissed.
That, like, his plan that I'm sure he spent millions of dollars on.
Oh, my God.
Is just
a
bust. And as Lecter turns to walk out, and then he turns back to Cordell, and he says, hey, Cordell, push him in. You could always say it was me. And he does.
And he does. Good job, Cordell. Yay. You're free, and hopefully we'll be getting money out of this.
Basically, like, you're free now.
Yeah. You're free.
I wasn't expecting that, I guess, when I watched
either.
It.
Verger's a dick.
Well, he gets eaten by pigs.
He does.
He lives a horrible, horrible life after he confesses to Lecter that he's a child predator.
Ugh.
A horrible life, which he did to himself.
He did to himself.
And then fed to pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
he did deserve it.
Now, Lecter manages to get to Krendel's lake house. 4th of July weekend.
4th of July weekend, baby. Okay.
He gets her to this lake house. He has her drugged.
Mm-hmm.
Krendler is, like, making phone calls to somebody, being like, clear my weekend. I don't want to be bothered by anyone. I just want peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Which they say at some point, well, she hints that he's married, because she says, go home to your wife. Maybe he's not married anymore.
Maybe he's not married anymore.
Because he's going out to the lake house by himself.
Maybe he is.
And he's just like,
fuck off.
Holiday weekend? Fuck you guys. You stay home with the kids. I'm going to go hang out by myself and get wasted.
Not by himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would have been a weird twat. Twat?
Twat.
Plot twist.
That would have been such a twat twist.
If, like, someone would have shown up there, or if he showed up, like, with his wife and kids. Yeah.
Whoa. But he didn't.
Now, Krendler walks in, and he sees the dining table all set to the nines. Beautiful. He then sees one lit sparkler going in the other room. So he's like, what the fuck? Meanwhile,
you just leave.
Not concerned that Lecter is on the loose. So did Mason call him up and be like, we have Lecter, it's cool, go chill for the weekend?
Probably.
Or did Krendler think that he was going to hide out there while all this was going on?
It could be anything. And we'll never know.
Well, it probably is in the book, and I haven't read the book in a long time.
Yeah.
So he gets caught, obviously, by Lecter. Now,
he chloroforms him very quickly.
He does it a few times. Yeah.
But anyway.
Now, Starling wakes up on the bed, and she's wearing this most beautiful black dress.
Julianne Moore is just, she's beautiful anyway.
She's beautiful to begin with. But she looks, like, so put together. She's wearing this beautiful black dress and heels. Mm-hmm. Her shoulder where she'd been shot had been stitched up.
Mm-hmm.
But she is drugged. So she wakes up, manages to get to like the landing on the stairs where she sees a phone. She immediately calls for help. She hears people talking downstairs.
Yeah.
She picks up the phone, realizes that the cord had been ripped out of the wall. So she must have sat there, put the cords back together, called the police.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yep. Not
too late.
It's far too late.
She walks down the stairs, notices that it's quite a disaster in the kitchen. A lot of, like a bone saw laying on the table.
Oh my goodness. Yep.
Lecter invites her to sit down at the table. He's cooking tableside. On like
I was just going to say my brain hurts from this.
Does it?
Not as does bad it. As Ray Liotis.
Now, Krenler is sitting there and he's got his hat on backwards.
You can kind of see like a little bit of like in juice.
It takes a minute though to get to that point.
Yeah.
Now, Lecter invites Starling to sit at the table. I think tells her that she looks beautiful. Yeah. Says to Krenler, his name's Paul.
Paul I think Krenner? So, sure.
Tells him to tell Starling that she looks beautiful, you know. And Krenler's acting like either odd. Drugged or some, kind of slowish. Something's yeah. going on. He's not.
He's not really picking up.
He kind of has the mental capacity of like maybe a 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Making stupid jokes. Yeah. Just kind of a childish behavior, laughing at things that mm-hmm. maybe adults wouldn't laugh at.
Yeah.
Now,
oh,
he's saying food smells good. Oh, what are you cooking? And he's got butter in the pan and he's cooking up some onions or something. Starling also is asking for wine. She grabs a knife at one point, but she's drugged up.
Mm-hmm.
So like she can't really do a whole lot. Now, Lecter takes off Krenler's hat, and his head had been cut almost completely open. He just takes a knife, cuts the last little bit, pulls the top of his fucking skull off.
It is wild. The first time I saw this, I was just like, what the fuck am I watching?
Exposed brain.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything quite like this.
It's so well done. It's well
very
done.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's pointing to the different parts of the brain,
mm-hmm.
saying, well, we can take some and cook it up. No big deal.
Like, you can't feel the brain.
Yes.
Like, it's the nerves on the outside of your skull that hurt, but once you get into the brain matter, it doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Starling is freaking out, but she can't really do a whole lot.
She's fucked up.
She so. Offers some type of trade to keep Krenler alive.
Yeah.
Lecter says a trade like that's beneath you.
Yeah.
Like you, that's not the kind of person
you're
are.
Better than that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So he just cuts a chunk out of his brain and starts frying it up.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. And then he feeds Krenler his own brain.
Ah! It's so crazy.
It is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, Starling tries to get up and run for it.
Yeah.
This part is kind of romantic.
Oh,
they're in the kitchen?
Yeah.
So, really? I thought for sure you would write down what he says to her.
No, I didn't.
He is on the move. He hears the sirens.
Well,
police are coming.
He takes Krenler out.
He wheels Krenler out.
And he's just like, say goodbye to our guest, whoever, whatever. And he like kind of waves. And there's like blood like dripping
blood
down.
Blood dripping down.
And I'm like, oh.
Yes. So they chat. She tries to escape.
Yeah.
Well, or she doesn't try to escape. She tries to overpower him in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's in heels. She's wearing a skimpy dress. She is drugged out of her mind still.
Mm-hmm.
Now he opens the fridge door, catches her ponytail in it,
yeah,
and breaks the handle off the door.
Yeah.
So
she's stuck for the moment.
Stuck for the moment. Mm-hmm. Well, what she had grabbed from upstairs, which you didn't, I don't know where she would have hidden them.
No.
She handcuffs herself to him.
Yeah.
And this, I can't remember it word for word, but he gets right up in her face and says something like, would you ever say, like, if you love me, you'd stop?
Oh, yes.
That line.
It's something to that effect. And
would you ever say stop if you love me, you'd stop?
Yes.
And she says, not in 1,000 years.
And he's impressed by that. He's just like, good.
And well, yeah. So she says, not in 1,000 years. And then he looks, he like leans forward and he goes, good girl. And I'm like,
I know.
He says, he doesn't say good girl. He says, that's my girl, or something like that. Like, it's just such, I wish I wrote down the line.
He's a terrible person, but it is that. I think that it is that.
So then he's like, they're in this predicament.
He's like, well, we're in a bind.
Yeah. So he picks up, I wish I wrote it down.
It's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever say stop? If you love me, you'd stop.
Yeah.
Not in 1,000 years. And he's like, not in 1,000 years. That's my girl.
Yeah.
And he picks up a meat cleaver and has their handcuff wrists together on the table. And he holds the meat cleaver up to her wrist and he says, above the wrist or below? And she's just looking at him wide-eyed, like, I can't believe this is going to fucking happen. Because she's still
fucked
high.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. And he holds the cleaver up and he says, this is really going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And then music plays and you see her, like, scream.
Yeah.
But then police show up. She goes running outside into the night. This beautiful dress. She's waving, has both her hands. Yeah, he cut his own hand off to escape.
Ah! Oh, my God.
Helicopters show up. Police, she says
he's gone.
Yeah, Clarice Starling, like, don't shoot kind of thing. He's gone. Next scene, he has his arm in a sling, and he's on a plane. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was what she was going to trade. She was going to trade Krenler's life for the 10 points of his, like, character that security looks for.
Oh, yes.
But, like, his FBI profile, like, how they, like, look for him at the border, mm-hmm. at borders.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has his arm bandaged. Mm-hmm. He's on a plane talking to a little boy. The end.
He feeds the little boy brain.
He does.
Can we please talk about this? So this little boy is, like, sitting next to him. And the little boy, like, looks over. And Lecter is just like, oh, like, I have caviar, I have stuff like this, that, and
the
other. Oh, the
little boy goes, like, what's that? And
yeah.
He's like, this is caviar, this is figs, this is blah, blah, blah.
And this is something for me, and it's brains.
Yeah.
And the little boy is just, they have kind of like a conversation, and
Lecter says, do you want to try something, you know, pick, and the little boy picks brains.
Yeah. And so Lecter is just like, well, my mom always did say try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy is fed brain.
The end. Now.
This is very long. But
is it long? Yeah. How long have we been? Like an hour?
Yeah.
What time did I get here? Like, I got here at like 11-ish. Almost 11. Yeah.
Okay.
Now.
But it's so good.
This is. So who wrote it again? Harris?
Thomas Harris.
Thomas Harris wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wrote.
I know. I'm
halfway
interested.
Through almost a completely different.
Okay.
The ending is 100% different. Now, when he wrote the like screenplay for it or mm-hmm. was involved in that, that is when Jodie Foster was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That does not hold up to her character. I don't want anything to do with that.
Kind of true.
Now, this isn't nearly as bad as the book. After she gets shot and he rescues her and takes her to the lake house.
Yeah.
A lot of time passes where he keeps her drugged and is basically, just wait, basically does like intense therapy on her, all about her childhood, all about her life.
Oh my God.
To the point where she falls in love with him and they go off together.
Shut up.
Yeah. She falls in love with him. They go off into the sunset together. Yeah.
My mind is blown.
And I think her injuries were more than just like a gunshot wound. I think she's like, and there's like other like subplots going on at the same time.
I have to read this book. And now I say all of these wonderful things about Anthony Hopkins and Hannibal Lecter and stuff. Hannibal Lecter is a terrible human being.
Well, yeah.
We're not saying that.
So in the book,
But if you're on his good side, why not take advantage of it?
It's one of those situations, yeah, where the killer isn't just like crazy killing everyone in sight.
No.
They're like, oh, I saw how you treated that server. I'm going to cut your tongue out.
Yeah. Yes. Like, you treated me like shit in prison, I guess.
Yeah. The only ones I kind of feel bad for, the guards in Silence of the Lambs. Yes. Because they're just watching him. But
they were kind of dicks to him.
They were dicks. But as a guard, there's no way under any circumstance I would quit my job before I'd be like, yes, I'm going to make sure Hannibal doesn't escape from here.
Yeah, no, thank you.
But anyway, yeah.
She leaves?
Yes. Wowzers. They fall in love. Now, so the way there was that ending, there was this ending, and then I think there was an additional ending, and then they picked this one. But yeah, he does like major therapy with her.
Is it like Stockholm Syndrome, or is it more like she genuinely like loves him and it's not just because she's being held captive?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I think
digging it.
Yeah. I have the books if you want to read them.
Yeah.
Which, sidetrack, speaking of books, I started the Throne of Glass mm-hmm. series.
Yeah.
We'll
talk after.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But that's so cool. I should read it. I kind of like that story.
It's very different.
I'm hopeless romantic through and through. So I'm like, yes, off into the sunset.
Fall in love with
a serial killer.
The serial killer.
Yeah.
Okay. So scariness.
I'm like a
one.
It's not that scary.
Gory.
Oof. Oof. Exposed brain. You have entrails. Slit throat, people being eaten by pigs.
I would say, okay, hear me out. I'm going to say four.
Okay.
Because of the Ray Liotta scene.
Yes, I would agree.
Because that is nasty.
Yeah. When that happened, I was like, I know it's coming, but I wasn't like expecting it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
That is gross. I agree. Okay.
All right. That's Hannibal. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. I hope everybody has a really good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.